Why was the U.S. late to ground the 737s, and why was China the first? In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. After the second crash of a Boeing 737 MAX jet in 5 months, American regulators grounded the planes yesterday, but well after most countries around the world had already done that. The first to make the call, in fact, were regulators in China. Marketplace's Scott Tong has more.
Chinese aviation regulators may have had their own domestic audience in mind when they grounded the Boeing jets. See, 5 years ago, 154 Chinese nationals died on board a Malaysia Airlines flight that just disappeared. And when the final investigation gave no concrete reason last summer, a lot of Chinese vented at their own government for not being forthcoming. So this is a chance for regulators in Beijing to show they're proactive and that they're cautious. And some analysts say Chinese aviation rules are more cautious in general, which may also be a factor here. And then there's the international stage. China has its own commercial jet on the way to rival the Boeing 737 and the Airbus A320, and the government wants to show that its industry and its rules are world class. And as the U.S. pulls back from global engagement on trade, on climate, on peacekeeping, Beijing sees a broader opportunity here to lead on global standards and regulations, including air safety.
Marketplace's Scott Tong. J.P. Morgan Chase just announced that it'll open about 90 new branches by the end of the year. Opening new branches is news because banks have mostly been closing branches, hundreds of them, in fact. Branch closures hit a record high in 2018. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more on what might be behind J.P. Morgan's move.
The new Chase branches will open in cities where the bank doesn't really have a presence, like Minneapolis, Nashville, and Charlotte, where populations have grown and startups have moved in.
Jamie Dimon wants to be where the growth is.
That's banking analyst Nancy Bush. As consumers have moved to mobile banking, Chase has also shut down hundreds of branches over the past few years.
And I suspect they're looking at some of their markets in the Northeast and some of the slower growth markets and saying, we can give up a branch here to open one in Nashville.
A lot of Chase's recent closures have been in low-income neighborhoods, which has drawn scrutiny in recent months. Banking consultant Myra Rodriguez-Valladares at MRV Associates says Chase should keep that in mind as it chooses where exactly to open its new branches.
If I were running these banks, I'd be telling them, okay, this is your time to make sure that you have at least one branch in some of these underserved areas.
The bank says roughly a third of the new branches will be in low to middle income neighborhoods. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.1% range, with the Dow future down 29 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.63%. There is an ongoing federal criminal investigation of data sharing deals between Facebook and at least two large makers of smartphones and other devices. This is according to the New York Times. The data sharing deals gave the companies broad access to hundreds of millions of users' personal information. Most of these partnerships have been phased out over the past several years. Every year, thousands of babies are born in the U.S. to mothers from China who come here expressly for that purpose, to give their children U.S. citizenship. This phenomenon is called birth tourism, and it is legal as long as tourists' intentions are stated up front when they apply for their visas. Over the past couple weeks, our China correspondent Jennifer Pack has reported on this, and you can catch up on marketplace.org if you missed it on air. Jennifer joins us now from Beijing. Good morning.
Morning, Sabri.
In your features, you talked about the reasons why people would come here. One of them is that people prefer the U.S. healthcare system. So what's China's medical system like?
Well, it's extremely crowded and not enough doctors. And for some people who are quite desperate, in order to jump the queue, they might have to give bribes to doctors and nurses. And in fact, some people would just give what they call hongbao, a little bit of money in red envelopes that usually get exchanged during Lunar New Year, in hopes that their loved ones will get better care at the hospital.
And I guess that applies for birth, too. What, I mean, what is it like for mothers giving birth in China?
Well, we spoke to a mother, Harper Swan, who gave birth to her first child in China. And here's how she describes what it was like.
After I entered the delivery room, no one checked on me until I was ready to give birth. Then right afterwards, the doctor and nurses left for another patient. It took a long time until someone came to stitch up my wound.
And keep in mind, this all happened at a hospital that's considered to be very, very good. And then when she gave birth to her second child in LA, she said the experience was just far better because there was a nurse monitoring her the entire time.
In one of your stories, you reported that the availability of epidural painkillers during childbirth is a selling point for Chinese mothers. Why is that something they could get here only?
Painkillers in Chinese hospitals is not widely available when you're having a natural childbirth here. So in a lot of these agency brochures who are trying to get families to pay them and bring them to the U.S. to give birth, they advertise a so-called painless labor. You know, in one of the brochures, they said it's hard enough to be a woman. Why suffer the pain?
You have concerned parents who want to come to the U.S. to give birth. It's legal to do so. What is the ultimate goal? I mean, what are they trying to get out of having their kids be a U.S. citizen?
Most of the families we spoke to and the agencies that bring these families over, they said the majority of families that they help, they want to raise their children in China. But when it comes to universities, the top universities in the world are all located in the U.S. and they all want a shot at that. If they are an American passport holder, that means that they have an easier time and cheaper tuition to get into American colleges. So education is the key thing.
Marketplace's China correspondent, Jennifer Pack. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Yesterday, we misidentified one of the individuals involved in the scandal over college admissions fraud. It was the Stanford sailing coach who pleaded guilty. Apologies for the error. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.